Welcome to episode 160 of the Daniel Yoris podcast with today's guest, Tanner Shuck. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Joined here once again by Tanner Shuck. Tanner, the last time that we did this podcast, November 2021, we spoke mainly about living a positively unbalanced life. How's that been working out you so far?
Dude, first off, thank you very much for having me back on your podcast, Daniel. It's an honor to be here. And to answer your question, it's worked out really well, man. I'm very thankful I'm still here, still doing what I love to do. And it's good to see, you know, your evolution and progression. And it's been good. I think life is much better, you know, when you live up, when it's positively unbalanced, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense to me. And for anyone who's curious about that term, go back and listen to that first episode. It was episode 42, way back in the earlier days, but things are bigger and better for both of us. Like, you've had huge success on social platforms, and I'm sure in the tangential effects that come with that positively, business-wise and life and all those things, which is great. Still living in Dubai. You still love it there?
Still living here. I'm still enjoying it. Things have, I guess, progressed, you know, not like an astronomical
amount. Don't be humble. Don't be too humble. You're killing it.
Dude, I'm keeping a roof over my head, thankfully. And I do mainly online training now. So I think when we spoke last time, I was probably doing a lot of in-person training. Fortunately, I've been able to transition out of that, and I'm able to do online mainly now, and I'm able to focus on really reaching and helping more people. And that's kind of with putting out more content. So I've really focused on YouTube since our last podcast. That's where my main area of focus is. But it's more of the same, man. It's just consistency, discipline, and doing the right things over and over and over again. So not a lot's changed. Some things have gotten better, and it's good to see that, you know, hard work and consistency pays off.
Yeah. And I think if there's nothing else that anyone takes from this conversation, that sentence alone, that's all you need. Just keep doing the things, and you're going to get wherever you're going.
Absolutely.
As you've transitioned more into only online and not, you know, training in person as much, obviously you're still training super hard and in the gym all the time and content and all that stuff with your own training. But do you notice that you are, or feel in any way that you're kind of becoming like that office worker that all of us trainers like didn't want to become, where we're just sat at a computer typing away, doing programs, video editing, all that stuff? Does it connect you more to some of the people that you train now?
Yes. And I regretfully say that I spend a lot more time sitting down. I'm more sedentary now than probably I was when we had this original conversation, just because I'm not, you know, in the gym all day. I'm not up on my feet training people as much as I was. Dude, I spent a lot of time sitting in front of a computer. Just before this podcast, I was sitting at my computer writing workouts for clients. And I do more of that now than I ever have. And that's like a blessing and a curse. Like, I'm thankful to have the work to do, but dude, you still got to do the work, which means you're sitting down, you're glued to a computer, and bro, you're punching keys, you know? So it's a blessing and a curse, but something I've recently just done to mitigate that is I just bought a stand-up desk and a walking pad just so I can remain active, you know, because I'm doing more work on a computer now. So, you know, my advice to anyone, if you have an office job, don't let that be an excuse. You know, get a stand-up desk, get a walking pad. There's ways around this. I understand you have to work on a computer, and the way the world works now is, you know, with the internet. So I just, you know, that's what I'm doing now. And so I've been getting more steps in lately just since I got that walking pad than I have, you know, before that. So doing what I can to remain active, because it's important to me to practice what I preach.
Agreed. And I think it's also just about planning. Like, one of the benefits of a typical 9-to-5 job is that you know your schedule, and your schedule is the same every day. So you know that you have that time before work and after work to work out. Like nothing's coming up really for the most part, other than maybe some family stuff. And so you can schedule your workouts in and around that. You can have a walking pad, which is not some grand, crazy luxury. Like it's a couple hundred bucks. It's not a crazy investment to have that.
Exactly. And
figure it out, because if you don't figure that out, like everything else is going to start to fall apart, as we both know.
Absolutely, man, dude. Here's the truth. People make time for what's important to them. Okay. So what you do and the way you spend your time, that really tells you what's important to you. All right. It tells other people what's important to you as well. All right. And like, I literally just put this on my, I think, Instagram story today. Like, you know, people say that if they don't have time to get their steps in or they don't have time to work out, they're lying. All right. Cause people always make time for what's important to them. I understand people have careers and families, but dude, if you love your family and you prioritize your career, then really you should prioritize your health, because that should kind of come above all that. Because without your health, you can't take care of your family. Without your health, you can't be a good employee or good at your career. So no excuses in my mind. That's a message that I really want to, you know, make clear to people. And like I said, you always make time for what's important to you.
It comes back to this thing that you and I both talk about all the time, and it's just personal responsibility. Like, yes, it's hard. You have kids, you have expenses, you have things going on in your life. That's fine. It's hard, and that's okay. And you can get through it even despite those things. So like,
Absolutely. Sure,
maybe, you know, you and I are sitting here, neither of us have children yet. And that's fine. So it's like, okay, you guys don't get it. You guys don't understand. Sure. But we still have other things that are going on. Everyone's got their own hardships. And you can figure it out between that. Like, why can't you bring your kids with you on a walk? Bring your wife or your boyfriend or whoever. Like, go on a walk together. Go work out together. Why can't you do that, right?
You can. Everybody can. Like I said, it's everything boils down to choice. That's another reoccurring theme, you know, in my messaging, is everything in your life is a choice, okay? If people use their family or their kids or their other activities as an excuse, like, the truth is, you chose to have kids. You chose to do the job you do. You choose to spend your time the way you do. Okay. So what the truth is that you're just making excuses. You're lazy. I don't care if you had 10 kids. Okay. Anybody can find 20 minutes three times a week to go lift some weights or get their heart rate up. Like, I do not care. The richest, most successful people in the world, Jeff Bezos, all right? That guy finds time to exercise, you know? So that's just, dude, choice, man. Choice is everything. Everything is a choice, whether you realize it or not.
The important piece there is also that it doesn't have to be, you know, 2 hours a day in the gym, 6 days a week. If you want to do that, great. And if you want to be a super athlete and whatever, then fine. But you can just get away three workouts a week, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever. Seriously. You have. Like, one of my more successful clients right now, he runs a business. He's like doing very well. And he's like, look, I can't work out for long periods of time, but I can commit to 25 minutes every single day. I'm like, great. Let's bang there it out. His workouts are short, sweet, intense. He gets it done, and he gets it done every single day. And he's making great results. Now, would he make faster progress if he was able to work out more? Of course he is. But he's not looking to step on a bodybuilding stage or enter a CrossFit competition. He just wants to be lean, healthy, strong, feel good. And that's what it doesn't take all that much time investment.
Legitimately. Like, I did a really hard workout today. It was just some rowing intervals. All right. I did it in less than 15 minutes. Okay. From start to finish. Okay. So that's just purely conditioning. People should lift weights, but even if you just did one compound exercise, you know, in a workout, or if you did two compound exercises in a single workout, you can get that done in 20 minutes easily.
Yeah.
You know, and just all about prioritizing really the most value for time exercises and you know, just always working out as efficiently as possible. You could actually maintain an elite level of fitness and strength working out, you know, with like, not working out long at all, like in a minimum amount of time. You really can if you know what you're doing and you're not afraid to push yourself and get after it.
Like, I don't train that long.
Yeah.
It's short and intense. Like even your whole, we're going to talk about this, but like the whole series, the whole Natty Bulking series that you did, those workouts weren't like, oh my God, I've never seen this exercise before. Or this workout looks like Tanner's been in the gym for 3 hours. Like it's not, it's like, okay, yeah, he's training hard. He's doing good work and like exercises that we know, maybe some new variations to some people and whatnot, but like, that's it. It's just hammering the basics.
Yeah. Hammering the basics,
for some people,
training hard. Effort.
Exactly. For some people, like a 20-30 minute workout where it's like all you do is, you know, pull ups and shoulder press, like that's probably better than most of the garbage that some people are doing out there, absolutely, trying to do 100 different exercises and all different implements and all different things that you have no idea what you're doing. Yeah,
absolutely, man. Honestly, the most basic and most simple exercises are going to be the most effective and offer you the best return on your training investment.
I think that that's something that people don't really consider. I think that people are understand the concept of like a return on a financial investment. I pay $100 and I get whatever I get back. But I think people don't really consider in the context of fitness is like the return on your effort. If you're going to the gym for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour a day and you're doing a bunch of bullshit work and not actually getting any results, like that's a pretty bad return on your effort.
It's terrible. It's an inefficient way to spend your time, you know, and what's sad is some people don't know any better. And there's two ways to look at it. You could say, all right, hey, you know what? At least these people are going into the gym and attempting to exercise. Cause dude, that's more than a lot of people. So
of course,
you know, it's good that they're in there at least doing something. But if people just went into the gym and, you know, did one or two things, you know, specifically get stronger, probably using a barbell with not even specific exercises, more like just foundational human movement patterns. Okay. Like I'm not saying you have to do back squats, but I am saying you probably should do some kind of variation with a squat. So I feel like that's important and that, you know, just fundamental foundational movement patterns are important.
Yeah, it'll never go to style and it doesn't matter. No, the only reason you have to do a back squat or a bench press or a barbell deadlift is if you're competing in a powerlifting competition.
Yes.
Like if you're not doing that, those exercises themselves are not specifically necessary. They're obviously great exercises to use and by all means, like go ahead and do them. I still do them. I know you still do them and enjoy them.
But yeah.
Like you don't have to do them, but you do have to do some variation of it. You can't just get through your life without squatting ever again.
Yeah. I mean, dude, like think about it. I'm sitting down right now. When I stand up from the chair I'm in, I'm doing a squat. Everyone needs to be able to stand up from a chair. All that is a squat or a variation of a squat. So you should be doing something to train your legs. You should be doing something to like be able to pick up something off the floor. You should be doing something to be able to lift some kind of object over your head. It's basic, man. Basic.
Have you ever seen, there's a video, I think it's like a German advertisement for something and it comes out always around Christmas and there's like an old man and he starts picking up this kettlebell and like lifting it kind of like up and in front of him and you know the neighbors and his family and whatever is kind of like, why are you keep doing this thing? And then, you know, it's Christmas Day and his grandson runs into the house and he picks up his grandson and then like lifts him up to the Christmas tree to put the star on the tree or whatever it was. And it's like, yeah. Oh, that's exactly it. It's like, why would you have to lift things overhead? Because one day you're going to be old and you're going to want to pick up your grandkids and you might not be able to.
Fucking right, dude. That's a good ass commercial right there. That's like, that's real shit. And it's true. Yeah. Absolutely true.
Yeah. Another thing that I've picked up from you, a line that you say, and I believe you got this one from your father, but it was that a strong man has a strong back.
Yeah.
And this is something I think that a lot of guys like, you know, like to train the stuff in the mirror, chest, maybe shoulders, maybe quads. But if you just wear sweatpants, then it doesn't really matter.
It's okay if you have bird legs.
Well, it's not ideal.
It's not okay. But if you're purely training for how you look, you can wear sweats and just train your shoulders, pecs, and biceps. You know?
Yeah. But you said should still get your back and should still get your legs for like functional, just for living your life, obviously.
Absolutely. Dude, I'm all about training purely for, I'd say, health and performance and function versus I've never once trained for aesthetics or how I look in a mirror. Although when you start training for performance in that way, aesthetics are, dude, they're usually just a byproduct of that. So
absolutely. And that's extremely clear by looking at you.
Yeah.
Extremely clear by looking at you, because you look awesome and you have looked like jacked and shredded for a long time, and you don't train like for doing, like, I don't think I've ever seen you do a video where you're doing a bicep curl. I'm sure you do them here and there, and they're functional if their function is wanting big biceps, obviously, not to like shit on them, but like most of your training is big compound lifts, lifting heavy, lifting hard, and then the product is the way you look.
Absolutely. And I mean, for the record, I occasionally do some bicep curls, but I will always, always do some kind of compound exercise before that. I'll always put the most emphasis on that. Lately, I haven't been really doing much bicep work at all. I've just been doing a ton of chin-ups, like really heavy weighted chin-ups, because that trains your bicep extremely well and the rest of your entire back, grip, forearms. And dude, my biceps are big and strong and functional, you know? So it's, and if people wanted to do one, if they wanted bigger biceps, the first thing I would tell them to do, all right, do more chin-ups. I wouldn't tell them to do more curls. I would literally say, all right, do more strict chin-ups, get better at that, you know, or do more rope climbs, legless rope climbs. I don't tell people that because most people can't do those, but you know, you want practical, simple things, simple takeaways to tell people. Dude, if you want bigger arms, dude, just do more chin-ups. It's like, literally, that's that will is more effective than spending your time doing any other kind of isolation bicep exercise, you know?
Yeah.
Only if you're like very high level, very advanced or enhanced, is doing isolation work, I think, beneficial. You know, if you just really want to target that muscle and get it even bigger. But the vast majority of people, they're not advanced. They're not taking drugs and they're not stepping on a bodybuilding stage. You know, so if they were going to spend their time training arms, you might as well train your entire upper body and just do a chin up. And you'll get way, way better results. Trust me.
Agreed. I think as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, what would be the training mechanism or the physiology that would support that? And I think it's that we know that level of effort or mechanical tension is kind of like the driver of hypertrophy. Yeah, I think absolutely. That people understand that. And if you follow enough fitness people on Instagram, you've seen that term, but people don't really understand it. Like you said, most people are not advanced. Most people don't actually know how to train really hard, especially in an isolation exercise. Like you have to be squeezing the shit out of your bicep to really get that.
Dude, a isolated bicep curl or like a leg extension, those are low value exercises. How long can you realistically train a leg extension? How long can you really get stronger at that? Or, you know, a bicep curl, like, dude, maybe 6-8 weeks. How long can you get stronger at a back squat? Dude, 15-20 years. You could get strong at a, you could always be getting your squat stronger. All right. A weighted chin up, like, dude, just doing one body weight chin up is really good. And most people can't even do that. You know, and I'm saying this with like humility, but now I'm getting to the point where I can do weighted chin-ups, you know, for 5 reps, sets of 5, you know, with almost 90 pounds, getting close to 100 pounds, you know? So like, that's an exercise that you can train for a very long time. All right. It's a movement pattern. I wouldn't even call it an exercise. It's a movement pattern. It's a foundational movement pattern that can be trained for a long period of time. How long can you really train a bicep curl or a leg extension? You know, like, dude,
and without getting bored of yourself.
Exactly.
If I sit on a leg extension machine, like, I just want to get off immediately. Like, that's not exciting or fun. If I did the whole stack on a leg extension machine, I wouldn't even be excited. I wouldn't tell anyone, wouldn't mark it down that it's a PR. Like, I don't give a shit. If I hit 1 pound extra on my squat, I'd be fired up about that as a
PR. There
you
go. You know? Like, so if people take anything away from that, don't do low value, superfluous exercises. Always prioritize compound lifts that give you the most value for your time.
If you had to think about it, and this is a question I've seen posed in the YouTube fitness world, but 10 exercises, if you had to do only 10 exercises for the rest
Chris
of your
Williamson
life.
Podcast. Dude, I honestly, if I had to do 10, I would probably condense it down to 6, like, or I'll tell you my first 6 and then I'll give you the best ones All right. And then I'll just add in four more that I think also are also good. Dude, you're going to do back squats, deadlifts, overhead press, bench press. I would say pull-ups. You could say pull-ups and or chin-ups. You could consider that the same one, just between a pronated and supinated grip. Okay. So pull-ups. So you could just say five. Then I would say dips. Okay. Then I would probably say like a heavy bent over row. Then I would probably go like maybe an incline press or a dumbbell incline press. So there's eight. Trying to think what other like really good compound lift that I enjoy doing.
A lunge of some sort? A single leg?
Thank you. A rear foot elevated split squat. So you could probably go, there's like nine right there. All right. I don't even know if I can think of 10 that I would really think are really, really important. I would say probably those
maybe
first
ab wheels
five.
Or a hanging leg raise.
You could say that.
But most people can't.
If you want to, no. That's a good point. If you want to directly strengthen your abs, your rectus abdominis, an ab wheel, yes, it's great. It does do that. However, if you just want like a strong core, dude, you're going to build a strong core doing heavy squats and heavy deadlifts. You know what I'm saying? Like your midline, your abs, you know, transverse abdominis, low back, your erectors, mid back, those are all getting trained extremely well when you're doing heavy barbell lifts. So that's why, like, I wouldn't even throw in an ab exercise. You could absolutely, I guess ab wheel could be the last one. Fair. And that's funny you say that because you probably consumed a lot of my training content because I've done a lot of ab wheels. So when I want to train a specific body part, like my abs, an ab wheel is probably the best way to do it. All right. But like if I had to choose like 10 exercises, man, I would really just think about simplifying it even more, you know, because you can build a very strong, lean, jacked physique doing really five or six exercises, you know, and just getting stronger at those. So
it's true. I might even break the rules a little bit. And in that 10th one, it's like a, you know, bike sprints or ski erg sprints or some type of sprint cardio thing, which is breaking the rules a little bit, but like might throw that in there as the last thing.
Yeah, you could absolutely. And so if I was going to do that, I think a lot of people would think running or sprinting, which that would be a very good choice. It's not wrong. I'd probably choose a rowing machine just because I've had injuries and running's kind of not so joint friendly. But you can get on like a Concept 2 rowing machine and get an insane conditioning workout that's really like trains almost your entire body. So yeah, that's a good point, man. But those would be my exercises, man. And that's literally what all my training programs revolve around. And any good training program is going to revolve around those basic compound lifts as kind of the meat and potatoes of the program. Like it's you don't really have to change it. You shouldn't change it. You should just get better at them.
It's funny thinking about it because as you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, that's more or less the whole program. And then, you know, for sake of maybe fun or just a little bit of novelty or with clients, you throw in some other stuff, but it's like, okay, that's the program. Yep. Break it up into however many days you're training in the week and maybe some slight variations. Maybe it's a dumbbell bench press instead of a barbell. Like, okay, fine for this phase and we'll switch back to the barbell next phase, whatever it is. And then sprinkle in some other, you know, fun stuff at the end. But like this is something I tell clients too. Is like, hey, if you're running short on time, like just do, you know, the A series or the B series of the workout. The rest of the stuff, like skip that. If you get the compound lift in.
Dude, that's a good workout. Like, you know, you've achieved something. You've done something worthwhile. Like, that's all I had time to do. You know, if someone told me they had 20 minutes to work out, I would tell them to probably do three exercises, a total body workout, and give them like a back squat, a strict pull up, and, you know, some kind of pushing exercise, whether that's a dip, push up, overhead press, bench press. That's it. And you're hitting all your major muscle groups in your body with those three exercises.
And as you become more advanced in training, I'm sure you've realized this over the years. It's been a while since you'd probably classify yourself as advanced in training. But when you really learn to push yourself and like train at a higher level of effort, you realize that you need less. I think a lot of, you know, less advanced, maybe more beginner people, they put in a bunch of stuff because they want to feel something and they're not able to like dig deep enough in a squat or in a bench press or whatever to really feel that pump, to really feel like they're getting strong. So you do all this fluff stuff at the end to feel something. But again, as you get stronger and better at training, like not even stronger, literally just better at training, you can get away with, you can get a lot more out of a lot less.
Seriously. That's very true. And it's funny you say that. Like right now, my workout split is so insanely simple. It probably would surprise most people. But my leg workout this week, I did two exercises. I did heavy back squats, and then I did a rear foot elevated split squat. And like I was so fatigued and taxed after that. That's really all I did in that workout. All right. And then for my upper body workouts, right now, I do basically four exercises. It's going to be two supersets of a push and a pull. So it's like an overhead press and a weighted chin up. Then it's like a close grip horizontal press, like a close grip bench press and some kind of heavy row. That's it, man. You know, and if you do that right with heavy weight for enough reps at the right intensity, you'll discover you're so taxed that you don't really have a lot of energy to even want to do kind of like that superfluous isolation fluff work. I still do it occasionally, but like I said, only when I have time and only if I feel like I still have enough energy in the tank to do it. And a lot of times it's like, dude, I'm so tired and so fatigued from the main compounds. I'm just like, all right, dude, I'm done for the day. And my strength is good. My physique is good. It's because you just put your energy and effort into the right things. And it's not as complicated as, you know, a lot of people make you believe it is. Lead make you, you know, they may think you, if they make it more confusing than it needs to be is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. And this was very evident in the whole YouTube series that you did, the Natty Bulking series. I watched most of them. Lines, I watched every single one, but I watched a bunch of them. They're great. And I mean, you were training under Sebastian Oreb, one of the best coaches in the world, I think objectively, right? Yeah. And again, it wasn't these crazy out of the box exercises like, oh my God, that's why Hafþór Björnsson can deadlift 1,000 pounds. It's like, no, he's just a savage and that's why he can do it. It's not some crazy secrets, right?
Dude, it's not. And honestly, when I signed up with Sebastian, it was to film that YouTube video. And I also wanted to document, you know, I wanted to make a vlog series of me training. Obviously, I was hoping it would get more views, which I'm okay with. It didn't. You know, I think Sam Sulik and the way he's made content and just blown up on YouTube, I think it's influenced a lot of people. I think that I got a lot of positive feedback from those vlogs, from the people that were watching them, but they didn't get as many views to warrant me to continue doing them. However, that being said, they're on my channel forever. Anybody can go watch me train and how I train and see it for what it is. But going back to Sebastian's program, when I looked at his program and these, you know, what it was, I was like, damn, I'm basically already doing this. Like my program and his program was remarkably similar. All right. Remarkably. And which was good. I didn't mind. I kind of like actually reaffirmed everything that I was already doing. I was like, all right, man, then I know I'm on the right track because that guy is a world-class coach. Great guy. Amazing guy, really nice. And he's giving people, you know, just the basics, you know, and getting better at them. So, dude, there's nothing magic about it. It's literally just realizing, you know, the best ways to spend your time training. And that's sticking with the basics and just getting stronger, you know, progressively over time.
Why do you think that series didn't get more views? There's tons of reasons possible, the algorithm, the whatever, but why is it that in your thoughts, the Sam Suliks of the world would garner more attention than someone like you doing more or less the same thing?
He's on steroids. His physique is very, you can look at his physique. I've actually watched YouTube videos about this. Like there is nothing special about his content. He barely edits his videos. The guys had success because, dude, he's very genuine, very relatable. People, you know, enjoy watching him, you know, just the way he is, he's authentic. And that's good. I could say that about myself. I find myself you know, I can be mm-hmm. genuine, authentic too. I think I am. But no one would even click on that guy's videos if he didn't look the way he did. So because I'm natural and I don't look like a, you know, a freak, I'm not going to get that click that he will get. Does that make sense? So that's why I'm not taking anything away from Sam Stolik, but do you think he would have over 3 million subscribers if he wasn't, you know, on steroids, if he looked like any other average 21-year-old kid? Do you think he would?
No, there's no chance. There's no chance. I've watched a couple of his videos and like, there's nothing interesting about them other than like, wow, this guy's 21 and he's doing what? And he looks like that?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like it's insane, right? It's a shock and awe.
Yeah, it is shock and awe. I'm not saying he doesn't train hard or anything like that, but dude, there's no way he would have any of that success. He wouldn't look anything like he does if he was natural. You know what I'm saying? And I'm natural. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot older than Sam Stolik. I'm natural because I choose to be natural. That's a choice that I make because, you know, being healthy is a message that is important that people get out. You know, it's very easy just to go enhance your hormones, stick a needle in your ass and make insane gains without really working for it. But dude, you know, where would Sam Stolik or where would any bodybuilder that has a crazy physique, what would they look like if they went natural for 12 months? You know, they would look nothing like they do now. So
yeah,
I made a piece of content about this. We're seeing it
with the Liver King, right?
Yeah. Do you know, I don't even follow that guy. Did something happen to him lately? Did his like something with his eye?
He tore his bicep. Oh, something happened with his eye, I think maybe, but he tore his bicep.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, is that, and I don't really follow him either, but you know, you see it or here and there. And it's like he said that he was off steroids. You know, he came out, he got outed, all that stuff.
Yeah. And then
it's like to anyone who is in the know, it's like, yeah, obviously he was, but to no fault of the regular people's own, like he says he's not on steroids and you think, oh, well, must be the bull testicles. Like it must be that, right? You don't know what you don't know and that's fine. So he gets outed, then he says he's getting off, his physique starts to decline, then he says he needs a couple of things or something like that, and then something happens to his eye, and then he tears his bicep. So his body's like falling apart in front of the internet, right?
Yeah,
because he's off all of the stuff that he was on.
So any dudes, any guys that are on steroids, they have borrowed gains and they're on borrowed time. That's the truth, man. Like, it is so much harder to get stronger, to build muscle, to recover, you know, when you have natural hormone levels versus super physiological hormone levels, right? It is a complete game changer. It's, you cannot even compare, you know, natural training versus enhanced training. You can't and you shouldn't. And that's actually a big message that I've been putting out lately. You know, I've been putting out a lot of natty content or like natural content because, dude, most guys, they don't want to stick a needle in their ass. They don't want to do steroids. Most people are still natural. You know, all the freaks that just look insane, 99% of them, they're all taking steroids. You know, I say not all of them because there are some, you know, legitimate genetic freaks and genetic outliers, but dude, the vast majority of most big fitness influencers, they're all enhanced, you know? And I'm not saying I'm a big fitness influencer because there's dudes way, way, way bigger than me, but I'm putting out a message where, like, dude, you can actually achieve a really strong, lean, muscular physique naturally if and only if you're willing to work hard enough for long enough. But, you know, dude, and the bottom line of that is being healthy. Like, I'm healthier than Liver King. I'm healthier than, you know, any Olympia bodybuilder that steps on stage. Like, I would go take any health test anytime, and I guarantee I would probably pass with flying colors as compared to a guy that's been enhanced for, you know, many years. It's just, bro, that shit takes a toll on your body over time. Here's just, sorry, this is a rant, but do you remember Joe Lindner?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that guy died last year?
Yeah.
Right? Who the fuck is talking about him anymore? No one's talking about that guy anymore. Yeah. Everyone's already forgot. But dude, that guy had been blasting steroids super hard for 10 years straight. All right. I guarantee he had an aneurysm and died. People want to blame it on the vaccines. It wasn't the fucking vaccines that gave him that aneurysm. All right. It was the fact that he'd been blasting steroids for many, many years, and he'd done some serious damage to his, you know, arterial walls, his arteries, his veins, his blood pressure, you know. So just take that for what it is. Doing steroids is a personal choice. It really is. Everything in your life's a choice. But, you know, I want to put out a message that you can be healthy and still be strong and jacked.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you saying all that, and I wanted to bring this up with you because I know that you've been putting this message out, because there are so many people that I see now, more than ever before, who are like, one, they're confused about who's using steroids, and they think that no one's using steroids, and they see these insane physiques and like, oh, I'll just do that guy's workout and I'll get like that. And it's like, well, you'll probably get better, but like, you're definitely not going to get like that. So you need to set the bar appropriately. Number two, sure. Then they start realizing, they're like, oh, all these guys are using SARMs. They're using this steroid. They're using testosterone. They're using all these things. So I'm going to use that too. Meanwhile, you know, you sleep like shit. You eat like shit. You train like shit. Like, testosterone's not going to save you. SARMs are certainly not going to save you. But like, all these compounds are not the missing link in people's training. Yet a lot of people think that they are, and they're turning to them way too early. I'm like, I don't use it. Nothing against anyone using it. Like, by all means, do whatever you want. Like, but just know what you're getting yourself into, and use it appropriately. Like, don't just, you started training 2 years ago and you think you need steroids. Like, you've tapped out your genetic potential. Like, give me a break. Almost no one has. No. And if you've only been training for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you definitely have not.
Definitely. Dude, I'm 36. I'm turning 37 this year. All right. And like, I'm still getting stronger. Like, I don't know. I'm probably past my prime for sure, but I'm still able to get stronger. I'm still not even sure if I've truly maxed out my natural genetic potential. I'm not even sure. Like, the fact that I'm still getting stronger, you know, because I'm training smarter now as well. Like, it's still like, it's pretty crazy to me. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking 36 natural. I've been training hard for a very long time. So I'm definitely close to that genetic ceiling, but I don't know for a fact that I've reached it yet. Also, I tell myself I haven't, because I tell myself I can always be getting better. So I think having a positive mindset and a growth mindset is also, you know, very important as well. If you want to continue making progress, you have to believe you can get better if you want to get better. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, that's huge to say. Like, people limit themselves. Like, oh, I've hit my genetic potential. Like, oh, you're like, you know, 175 and, you know, 70% body fat. I don't think that's really your genetic potential, but, you know, you've got some work to do, and, thinking that you can do better and you can do more. Like, this is one of the biggest things when people diet, right? And people diet maybe a little bit severe, like more aggressively, let's say, is their fear that they're going to lose muscle. And so they stop training. They, you know, they believe that they're going to lose muscle, and then therefore they lose more muscle than they have to. Yeah. Versus if you just kept training while you're dieting, yes, you're still going to lose a little bit, but you're going to minimize that as much as you can. Absolutely. If you just keep pushing yourself.
Especially if you're getting enough protein, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
So, dude, like, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you change the way you think, and this is like more philosophical, like mindset things, but dude, if you change your thoughts, you will change your life. You know, dude, if you have a vision and you believe in it and you actively, you know, chase that or pursue it, dude, you can make it happen. You really can. All right. So I think the power of the mind is extremely underrated, underutilized. And I just made a piece of content like last week, you know, it was a clickbait where it was like, hey, I reveal my steroid cycle. And then, you know, it goes to show, I just say the only steroids I do are mental steroids, you know, where I work hard, I'm consistent, I'm disciplined, you know, and that's gotten me to where I am just by seriously believing in myself, working hard and being consistent. And dude, it's true. All right. It's so true. So, dude, if more people believed in themselves and worked harder, they'd be way better, you know, way better off. But just, dude, most people don't do that, man. Most people would rather take shortcuts or not work hard. And unfortunately, that's human nature.
Yeah. And understandably so. Like, who wants to work harder than they have to? Like, humans are efficient. We chase efficiency and ease of life, and that's okay. But there's been so much messaging. Like we're in, you know, we've learned so much as a human race. We know that the hard work and consistency is the way in all things.
For sure.
It's funny that you use the phrase mental steroids. Only because I believe there's a study that was done, and I'll try and look it up and put it in the show notes if I can find it again. And maybe I'm misquoting it, but I'm pretty sure this is how it was, where they gave two groups of people. One group, they gave them steroids, and one group, they told them they gave them steroids, but they didn't. They gave them some placebo.
Sure.
And the placebo group had greater than average gains as well. And so like these people literally just, they were injecting nothing and they thought that they were getting steroids and they had better gains. It's literally exactly what you're saying. They just believed they could, and so they did.
The power of belief, absolutely. Okay. I'm actually probably going to make a YouTube video about that, you know, kind of under a similar premise, because dude, it's if the placebo effect, extremely real. All right. And dude, if you think you're taking something and you're not, you didn't know any better, but you think you are, dude, you're naturally going to train harder. You're naturally going to push yourself harder. You're naturally going to try to lift heavier. And dude, when you do that, when you train harder, lift heavier, eat better, dude, you are going to get better results. All right. Yes, you're probably will not get as good a result if you actually were taking steroids, but you'll get far better results than you would have, you know, just thinking you're taking, you know, a placebo. So
yeah,
brother, the power of self-belief is so real and so underutilized.
Do you have any stable mental wellness practice or mindset things, meditation, anything of that sort that you do regularly?
I don't meditate. I don't do any breath work or anything like that. Here's what I do. I work out hard as fuck, like at least 3 or 4 days a week. And that is meditation to me. All right. Getting out of breath, doing something physically hard is euphoric. I'm a dopamine junkie. I'm addicted to it. All right. That is meditation. Like I am my happiest, most confident, in my best mood, thinking the most clear immediately after an intense workout. All right. That's why if anyone's consumed any of my content, they've probably seen, you know, videos of me out of breath, you know, making content, because I like making content right after I've just finished training, because like I said, my mind is in a very good, positive mental state. So that is kind of my meditation. And I think meditation, it can be a really good thing for people. And breath work, that can work too. I was on a podcast yesterday with a guy telling me about how he does breath work. And I said, "Bro, if that works for you, great. I personally just get out of breath, you know, I just, I just work out really hard, and that is my meditation." And dude, I really think, if more people just got really out of breath and did like workouts that really, really challenged them, people would be so much happier, healthier. You wouldn't have all these, you know, mental health issues. People wouldn't be dealing with anxiety and depression. There wouldn't be all this, like, you know, mental health issues, especially in young men who are lonely, you know, or all this kind of stuff that you see now on social media. Like, dude, just go lift some fucking weights and get your heart rate up. And I'm pretty sure that would probably alleviate 95% of your problems. It really would. More people just need to move. You know, exercise is actually the best way to alleviate and cure any kind of anxiety and depression. You know, it works way better than even taking, you know, anti-depression pills or anti-anxiety pills. Right? Just go fucking work out. All right. The human body was meant to move. And just the neurotransmitters and the positive effects in your brain chemistry from, you know, intense, vigorous exercise, it's not to sound like overly dramatic or to use hyperbole, but it's like, it's magical. It really is.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I like a little bit of breath work. I like a little bit of meditation, but that works for me, like you said. I don't think that it's necessarily for everyone. I would encourage everyone to maybe try it, but like not in the place of getting your workout in. I think getting your workout in, getting a hard workout in, it's easier to meditate doing that because you're getting into your body. And like when you're under a heavy barbell, like you can't be thinking about that shit that your boss said, or that text message your ex-girlfriend sent you, or whatever other stupid things are bothering you. Like you better like get your ass in gear and stand back up or that bar is going to crush you.
Dude, I love
that's the best way to get out of your head.
Dude, it forces you to be present, to be, you know, to be living in the moment too. Bro, I was doing heavy back squats earlier this week. And believe me, the only thing that I was thinking about is being able to, you know, squat down and stand up. And that is it. Because that took literally 100% of my energy and focus just to do that. And dude, that is therapeutic for sure. It is. So just...
Yeah, the point of some of the meditation stuff. Exactly. The point of it is not to be like, you know, this monk on a mountain, you know, kumbaya for 3 hours in a row. Like the point of it is to find moments of silence or, you know, moments of mindfulness. And that can happen directly through exercise. Like you do a 30-minute meditation session. You're not actually meditating for 30 minutes. You're trying to get like a couple of moments in there. You do a few sets of back squats. Every single one of those sets, you better be mindful. And if you're not, like, you know, up the intensity a little bit.
Dude, yeah, agreed. I've had my biggest moments of inspiration, my best ideas, and the moments of greatest clarity, dude, right after a workout or right after I've done something extremely hard and I'm like literally out of breath, you know, sweating, can't, you know, breathing hard. It's for whatever, dude, whatever that chemical response that goes on in your brain, bro, it's magical. All right. I'm just telling you like that. The rush of endorphins and dopamine, and maybe it's serotonin, some other neurotransmitters that are going on there, bro. It's fucking magic, you know, and more people need that. And like, I've just been lucky enough to realize, you know, the benefits of that. And so that's why, dude, intense, vigorous exercise is my drug, you know? So that's what works for me. I think to each their own, not everyone's going to want to do that, which I understand, it's hard as fuck, but it works really well for me.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, life is hard. Like I say this to some people.
Life's way harder when you're unhealthy. You know, life is hard. You're right. Life is hard.
Life is hard. Everything's hard. So like, just pick what you want. You know, people say, oh, training is expensive or this is expensive. Like, bro, everything's expensive. Like that's not a reason, or it's not an excuse at this point anymore for like a thing. Like you have Netflix, you have, you know, vacations, you have fancy clothes, you have a fancy car, like, and the gym is the thing that's expensive. Like, give me a break. What are we doing here? You know,
that's it, dude. Again, to what we started off, people make time for what's important to them, you know, and their wallet, where they spend their money, tells you what's important to them, you know, and what they, you know, what they do and don't do. Yeah. There you go, dude. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
one thing I did want to ask you about, just switching gears quickly, because I know we're going to try and wrap up soon. Since you've been on this bulk, obviously you're eating a lot more food. What have you learned from bulking this way, maybe compared to ways that you've bulked in the past or times that you've done it in the past?
Yeah, so
I know it's a huge switch of directions. Yeah, like very direct.
That's fine, dude. That's absolutely fine. Happy to answer that question because I actually have some probably pretty good insights. So I'm 36 right now. The last time I bulked was probably when I was like 21, 22 because I was playing college football. And I got up to all the way to like 230, 235 pounds. But dude, I was a college kid. I was going out every weekend, getting fucked up, drinking shitload of beer. Eating pretty much whatever I wanted, living on Chipotle, eating a lot of food, and I was training hard too. And I was never like a huge, huge drinker. It was never a problem, but dude, I was in college, so I was out partying. So I bulked, you know, less mindfully, and I probably had, you know, more body fat on me than I do now. Granted, I'm probably like, right now I'm like 215, 220. I'm not as big as I was in college because I just don't need to be. But, you know, I have intentionally gained weight. And that was mainly because, and this not to sound arrogant or anything, I've been really lean, you know, like sub 10% body fat for the past 6-7 years. Like I got kind of bored with it, you know. Also, the way I was training, I've got bored with that. And I was like, dude, you know what? I really want to get stronger. I want to get my back squat, you know, close to 500 pounds. I want to be able to bench press 315 again. I want to be able to overhead press 200 pounds. All right. That's something I've never done because I've had really long arms and weak shoulders. And the only way to really get stronger, especially with a barbell, is to gain weight. All right. Like, so like if you want certain lifts to improve, and power lifters will tell you this, like the easiest, fastest way to get your bench press higher is to gain weight. All right. And that also works true with a squat and a deadlift because mass moves mass, like weight moves weight. However, this time when I bulked, I just didn't change my diet. I just changed how much I ate. So I just put out a YouTube video last week explaining, you know, how I'm bulking and how I'm training. And in that video, I tell people never, ever eat low quality shit foods. Like, you should never have an excuse to go eat McDonald's or IHOP, you know, or Taco Bell or any of that shit. Your diet, the foods you eat in your diet should not change. It's just how much of those foods you're eating is what changes based on your goals. So, I know in probably another month or two, I'll get lean again because I'll probably get tired of bulking and I'll hit my goal and then I'll probably get lean and fit again. And I'm not going to change my diet. I'm just going to eat less food. So I think that's important. That's it, dude. That's always in my mind, you just always prioritize the highest quality food possible. And then, dude, just eat according to your goals. That's it. And I'll give you, if anyone listens to this, this is some very good practical advice that anyone can benefit from. I eat 11 foods. 11 foods, bro. That's it. That's what I survive off of. And I love it. And I'll just name them off quickly. All right. I eat red meat, chicken, fish, pork, whole eggs, high quality dairy foods like Greek yogurt, milk, cheese, butter. I eat fruits. I eat vegetables. My main carbohydrate sources are going to be like white rice, potatoes, and I eat some sourdough bread. That's 11 foods. I drink mainly water, black coffee. I'll drink some, you know, a protein shake. I don't really count that, but dude, that's what I eat all the time, year round, regardless of what I'm doing. And I feel great. I like the way I look. I like the way I perform. And it's that simple. And I never, you're never going to see me in a McDonald's eating junk food. Like, in my mind, there is never an excuse to go eat low quality shit. All right. Never an excuse. Like, I'd rather just not eat anything before I would go eat McDonald's. That's a personal thing. It's a mindset thing. But I also try to pass that on to my clients. So, you know, if anyone listens to this, if you think I'm extreme, I totally understand. That's fine. But, you know, I think eating low quality shit is extreme. You know, that's crazy. Humans didn't evolve eating that.
If you think that that's extreme and you're offended by that, then that's on you. Like, yeah, what's extreme is being sure. obese and unhealthy. Like, being that is extreme. Sick.
It is.
Yeah. We have this concept of now, like, living a healthy lifestyle, which means that you eat whole foods, you exercise, you sleep well. Like, shouldn't that be the norm? Isn't that the default setting? And then everything, you know, not exercising, not sleeping, not eating real foods and eating junk all the time. Like, shouldn't that be labeled as the other, the unhealthy lifestyle? Like, the healthy lifestyle, this is the normal default setting, or should be.
Yeah, it should be. You know, it probably was much more like this, you know, 100, 200 years ago before the advent of, you know, processed foods and, you know, food corporations and, you know, their multi-billion dollar marketing budgets, you know, because it's not really people's fault per se. It's money and greed rules the world and it's capitalism and people are literally inundated with junk food everywhere. It's everywhere you look at it, bro. It's commercials. There's a fast food restaurant on every corner. It's on every billboard. Everywhere. So, like, subconsciously, you are brainwashed into eating all of this bad, unhealthy food that really no humans were ever, you know, meant to eat. But dude, people just don't know any better. Cause dude, it's like I said, dude, it's poor mental conditioning and people are just like brainwashed into it without even realizing it. So that's a whole nother conversation, bro. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. To bring things like full circle on that, I mean, it's not anyone's fault necessarily that that's the way the world is, but it is your responsibility to make a difference and make it better. And that's the thing that people need to, like, nobody is blaming you. Tanner and I are not blaming you or anyone that you know for like the things that have happened in the world and the way that things are right now with food and marketing and maybe the things that you've learned or the things that you eat. No one's blaming you, but it is your responsibility to change that because the world is not going to change. We can only change ourselves. We're not going to, you know, this podcast is not going to get to all of the billions and trillions of dollars of marketing into these shit foods and shit environments and all this stuff. Like it starts with you. You make a change and only you can do that. So I think people need to really like understand
that's that. Powerful right there, bro. Like I'm going to steal that. I'm telling you right now, you can't change the world, but you can change yourself, bro. Like, you have control over the food you put in your mouth. You have control whether you go to the gym or sit on the couch. Like again, it all comes back to choice. That is really, bro, that is like everything, honestly. It's the power of choice and the power of free will. We all have, you know, freedom of choice and we all have free will. You just have to be aware of it. You know, because dude, we're not going to change the world, like you said, man, but we can change ourselves. So that's well said, bro. Very well said.
Thank you, man. It's the only thing we can do. Is the culture around food, health, fitness, wellness in general very different in Dubai than it is in North America?
No, it's very similar. I wish it was better.
Interesting.
But dude, there's a... Dubai is a very international place. There's a lot of Western people, a lot of like, you know, Caucasian people. It's very international. There's people from all walks of life. But the vast majority of people here, bro, they're unhealthy. They're fat, overweight. If you went to the mall and you go to a restaurant, like I do it and I just like, it blows my mind. But dude, the majority of people, they're overweight, eating shit, drinking Coca-Cola, not water. And I'm just like, dude, the world is so fucked, you know? So that's what like kind of inspires me to just keep putting out this message, you know, and it's honest, it's direct. You may not want to hear it, but it is undeniably true. So keeps me inspired, dude, to keep doing it because I want people to be healthier, you know? A lot of things are working against us, but you know. It's better to put out a positive message.
Exactly. And so I thank you for doing it on behalf of everyone else and all the rest of us who are all putting out these good messages because we're fighting a very, very, very uphill battle here. And so the more of us that can be, you know, saying the good stuff and you know, if we help one person, then that's still one better person than there would have been otherwise. And that's all that matters.
Here's one more thing I'll say. I should have said this when I was talking about those foods, but dude, if you want to simplify your diet and just start eating better, just if the food did not exist 100 years ago, then just don't eat it. All right. If it did not exist 100 years ago, don't eat it. And I'm aware that's a blanket statement, but if you follow it, you're going to be eating probably the right things. All right. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're not restricting yourself. You're respecting yourself. You are putting positive constraints on your life by eliminating low quality shit foods out of your diet. All right. So, you know, bro, eat real food, prioritize protein, lift weights, take responsibility for your life. Don't make excuses. Everything in your life is a choice.
Love it, man. That's it. That's all there is to it. Tanner, I appreciate you, brother. Where can people find you? What do you got coming up?
Dude, I appreciate you very much too, Daniel. If people want to learn more about me, please check out my YouTube channel. Follow me on Instagram. My name's Tanner Shuck. If you want to learn about me, you can also check out my website. That's truestrength.co, spelled just like it sounds, truestrenghgth.co. And bro, yeah, so YouTube, Instagram, my website is probably the best places to learn more about me. Send me an email, Tanner@truestrength.co. and dude, I'll get back to you. I'm busy, but not never too busy to help people.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'll throw all that in the show notes, but you Google Tanner's name, you'll find him. So, you know, don't make it too difficult. The True Strength t-shirts also available now through Barbell Apparel. That's right.
Thanks. Yeah, man, you're plugging it for me. Yeah. I have my own line of clothing from Barbell Apparel. Very thankful to be a part of that company. And yeah, I have a supplement sponsor too, Transparent Labs. They're supplements. I think supplements are good, but never, ever worry about supplements. If you're not taking care of your training, sleep, and nutrition first, focus on what really matters. But yeah, dude, if like really, if people just want to get better and learn more, just go watch some of my YouTube videos. Okay. I feel like that's probably the best. That's where my best content is and where people can probably learn the most and get the most value.
It is. And genuinely, not just because I know you and consider you a friend, I think that you have, if not the best, it's very definitely up there best content on YouTube in the fitness world right now. It's the most real. It's the things that people need to hear about. It's very relatable, and it's real for people to see and for people to learn from, not just flashy nonsense that's entertaining but not actually helpful. So I appreciate you for doing all that as well.
Dude, I'm glad
I'm trying to fire you up a little bit with the t-shirts, the supplements, because I know that it's hard. I know that it's like, you know, for guys like us, it's kind of annoying to do that stuff and push the t-shirts and push the supplements and the thing. So I'm doing it for you because I struggle to do it myself. And I know that you're too humble to do it. So I'm doing it for you.
Yeah. Well, dude, I really appreciate that. And what I would tell you, man, is I'm super proud and happy for you, bro. You're on episode, I think 160, you said, when you had me on originally, your episode 42, bro. That's so much hard work and effort. And I'm sure you've experienced a lot of growth and positive feedback. Bro, it's just not about it. Like, just don't fucking quit, man. Like, I'll tell you this. Successful people, the only difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is successful people do not quit. So I remind myself of that daily because, dude, it's a fucking grind, man. Like, life is hard. It's super hard. But I think it's always harder to kind of be in the same place next year as you are now. So just, I remind myself of that daily, and dude, that keeps me going. So bro, much, much props and respect to you, Daniel. And I really, dude, remind me again, how old are you?
29. I'll be 30 later.
You're still in your motherfucking 20s. You're a fucking kid. Jesus. Dude, I didn't even start taking YouTube seriously till I was 34. Dude, just imagine if you started working at YouTube right now, where you could be when you're my age. Or dude, anything, bro, just start, bro. I'm telling you. It's
crazy that you say that, because I also think about, you know, what if I just started even on Instagram when I was like 21? You know, there's always someone who's like ahead of you, started earlier, been doing it longer, like been doing it better. There's always that, but it's like the sooner you start, the better. So like, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start, you know, better earlier than later, but it's never too late.
Yeah, bro. Like, what's that Chinese proverb? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is right now. So dude, I hope you do. It is hard work, but I really think, dude, you'd blow your mind where you could be, you know, in a couple of years. Like, if you would ask me, I think the last time that we had a conversation, I don't even think I started my YouTube. I didn't even have a YouTube channel, you know, in November 2021.
I don't remember exactly if it was very early.
If I did, it was like, I wasn't taking it seriously. Cause I remember vividly, I started taking YouTube seriously in March of 2022. That's when I really started like trying to make better videos, better content. And like, since then, you know, again, I've built, you know, a pretty significant following on YouTube now, just in 2 years, by taking it seriously. But dude, start, man. So if anyone else is, just don't wait around, man. You can't wait for things to happen. You have to go make things happen.
Yeah. Love it, man. I will start. Now you're calling me out publicly, so now I have no excuse.
Hope you do, bro. I will.
All right. No, thank you, man. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening again. Tanner, appreciate you so much, bro. Tanner Strength, or Tanner Shuck, everywhere, truestrength.co website. All links will be in the show notes. Send this episode to a friend. Like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. That's it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Go outside. Be a good person. See you next time.